I'd like you to take the Word of God, if you would, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. In the first chapter of Matthew, we'll begin in Matthew chapter 1 with verse 18. I want you to write down some things. The best writer among you, if it's one of the children, one of the young people, I want you to write some things down. So get a pencil and pen and ink and paper and write, if you would please, because I want to speak to you on this subject, what every child needs to know about Christmas. What every child needs to know about Christmas. When you open the Word of God, you do not have everything that God knows in the Bible, but you have what God wants us to know. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself. It is what He wants us to know. And the Lord places the emphasis in Scripture. And as we read and pray and follow after the Lord, we find where God is placing an emphasis, sometimes by repetition, sometimes in the way it's presented. There's a certain, if you would, style that the Holy Spirit uses as we look at the Word of God. Remember, we must read the Bible. And to understand the Bible as we read it, we search the Scriptures. We compare Scripture with Scripture. We memorize Scripture. We meditate upon Scripture. And in knowing things, we add to what we know, what we do not know, that we discover, and enlarge what we know about God and His God and God's Word. Meaning, there are certain things that all of us know about particular subjects, like the subject of the Lord's birth. But then we can learn things in addition to the Lord's birth, the things we know from what God reveals to us. I'm saying to you that parents have the responsibility, spiritual leaders have the responsibility to teach the truth about these great doctrines of our faith. And I'm speaking as simply as I know how, as if I were speaking to a child, on what every child needs to know about Christmas. And if you're a serious, sober thinker, you're going to think while I'm speaking, we know that. But we don't know it. If we really knew it like we say we knew it, we would be emphasizing it. If you listen to me a while, or if I listen to you a while, you can tell what we believe. I can tell what you believe. I can soon discover what you love. I can understand what's important to you if I just listen to you, because we place an emphasis on the things we love and know and believe that are dear to us. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior need to place the emphasis where God places the emphasis in Scripture. There's a reason so much of Scripture is given to the birth of Christ, especially in two gospel records, all the prophetic verses that lead up to it, because God wants us to know that our Savior came to this earth when God became a man without ceasing to be God, born of a virgin. This is God's design in bringing Christ into this world. And the Bible says plainly in Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." I want you to stop and think all the things that are encompassed in that one verse of Scripture. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Every phrase, almost every word, is filled with the truth we need to know. The birth of Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. God came to the world. He came through this virgin birth. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, espoused means promised to be wedded to. The word was not used in the English language till a certain time, translated into our scriptures this way. But we have the idea, of course, that Mary and Joseph had every plan to get married. Joseph had no plans to marry anyone else. Mary had no plans to marry anyone else. They were espoused to be married. But the amazing thing is, before they came together, before they entered any act associated with a wedded couple, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Here, the purest woman God found on the face of the earth to bring forth what he sent forth into the world. And all of her life, she was to bear the reproach of expecting a baby without a husband. So we need to start teaching our children that our Savior came in the world and was born of a virgin. Our Savior came into the world and was born of a virgin. This was brought about by the work of God himself. So children need to know this. It is not something you compare to other human beings, because there are three types of ways people came to this earth. One, by direct creation, when Adam and Eve were created by the hand of God. And he designed their bodies so that they could reproduce. Everything about their reproductive structure was perfected so that they could bring forth children into the world. And so children came that way. That's the second way people came to the earth. And the only person who ever came to this earth the way he came was the Lord Jesus, born of a virgin. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. The law stated that Mary could be put to death because by all indications, she had been engaged in an immoral act. Because Joseph knew and Mary knew that had not had a sexual relationship. So, I want you to tell your children that they ought to have a great appreciation for Joseph, because not only did God tell Mary about what he was going to do, but he sent an angel to speak to Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou shalt, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Joseph had an angel visit him and explain to him how this baby was going to be born, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Now, the fact of the matter is, we can't put that in a test tube and figure it all out. But God, who designed the human body and every meticulous thing about it, designed that this one child would come into the world without an earthly father. And God deals with Joseph. Our children need to have an appreciation of Joseph and how God dealt with him. Notice something else in verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. God chose his name, and he gave his name to Joseph so that Joseph could name him. Children need to know that God chose his name, and he gave that name to Joseph so Joseph could name him. Jesus means Savior. And so he says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Our children need to know that the birth of Jesus Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament. Write these verses down, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. Impossible. It's a sign. It's something only God could bring about. There'd be no sign if just a young woman is going to have a baby. But this virgin, a man had nothing to do with it on earth. This virgin shall conceive. And God says his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. So prophesied in the Old Testament. The Bible says in chapter 9 of the same book of the Bible, in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase, of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." And so, children need to know that when Jesus Christ was born, every part of his ministry was predicted and prophesied, every part of it. The Word of God says in verse 24 of Matthew 1, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Our children need to know that Joseph did not practice any marital relationship with his wife until after Jesus Christ was born. They can understand that. Tell them. Now, in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says, beginning with verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Our children need to know that an angel visited Mary. And the Bible tells us the angel Gabriel was sent from God to visit Mary. Verse 27, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So God chose Mary to bring forth into the world what God would send forth as he gave his only begotten son. And he's dealing now with Mary in verse 28. "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." God chose Mary of all women to bring forth his son into the world. Children need to know that. And the Bible says in verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." Like anyone else, she wondered why the angel was visiting her. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And we need to use the very words of Scripture. Our children need to know that God gave Mary favor. And they can have favor with God. I believe individuals who are Christians can have favor with God. Ministers can have favor with God. Churches can have favor with God. Your children can have favor with God. Mary found favor with God. Verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The angel explained to Mary what her child would do. And the most surprised person in the whole world was Mary. Why? She knew she had never been with a man. She was promised to Joseph. She had no physical relationship with Joseph. Mary's shocked and surprised. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And your children need to know that Mary said to the angel, how is this going to happen? Because I have known no man. And the Lord answers. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. The angel explained to Mary that God was going to bring this to pass, and that her child would be called the Son of God. Just as you might say, if your name was Bill and you had a son, that's the son of Bill, or the son of Joe, or the son of Jim, or the son of James. They may say of my two children, they're the sons of Clarence. But God said to Mary, your child is going to be the Son of God, because God brought this about in your womb. As long as you live and talk about Christian faith, people are going to ridicule the virgin birth of Christ. God just declares here how it happened. He doesn't try to give some sort of scientific explanation or some genealogical answer. He just states it's going to be the work of God. And faith in God brings us to believe it. And the Bible goes on talking about it. And behold, my cousin, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. So children need to know that Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that her cousin Elizabeth, who was old of age, is going to have a son also. And she went to visit with her cousin Elizabeth. And the Bible tells us about the birth of Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. Then we come to chapter 2 in Luke. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I'm going to read just a few paragraphs from the little book on the treasures of Christmas that I wrote, some things I wrote long ago about Caesar Augustus. I want you to listen to them. In history, Caesar Augustus is referred to as the first of the Roman emperors, because you're going to talk to your children about Caesar Augustus. He was the great nephew of Julius Caesar. When Caesar Augustus was just a teenager, he got news of his uncle's death. At that time, this young man's name was not Caesar Augustus, but Octavian. Rome was in a tremendous turmoil, and they called for Octavian to come. In his will, Julius Caesar had declared that Octavian would be his successor in leading Rome. As a teenager, he came to the throne to be the first of the Roman emperors. Many historians believe that he was the greatest of all the Roman emperors. He brought Rome to a period of peace. He actually brought two parts of the Roman Empire together. In Augustus' day, when you considered the Roman world, to the north was England, to the south was North Africa, to the west was the Atlantic Ocean, and to the east was the Euphrates River. As a matter of fact, the Roman Empire was so vast in Caesar Augustus' day that people referred to the Mediterranean Sea as a Roman lake. This is no small person. As a matter of fact, you could say that God used the most powerful person on earth to bring about his will. And you're going to be dealing with children someday, and they're going to say, well, look, it's in somebody else's hands. It's out of our hands. It can't be done. I don't know how in the world this could be possible. Well, you can tell them in the Christmas story that God used the most powerful man on earth to make a decree to bring to pass what he'd already designed from creation. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God gave the first prophecy concerning the coming of Christ. Let's go on. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was the house and lineage of David. Children need to be told that Bethlehem is the birthplace of David, King David. David was of the tribe of Judah. And so a Savior is coming through that tribe. Now, Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. That's what the Bible says, 700 years before his birth. But his mother was living many, many, many miles away in a place called Nazareth. But the most powerful man in the world makes a decree that everybody's going to be taxed in the place of their heritage or lineage. How, in the exact appropriate moment, when the baby was due from the time of its conception till its due date, they traveled that great distance and came to the exact spot God had prophesied in which that baby would be born. Only Almighty God could bring all those things together. And your children need to know that. The Bible says, and so it was in verse 6, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And the Lord spells out specifically here in chapter 2 and verse 6 that he brought all these moments, all these things, all these people, all these places together to accomplish one thing. And there's no telling what God may do to bring to pass in your life what he wants to bring to pass. Somebody may grow up 1,000 miles from here and happen to be visiting here or living here at a time when they need to meet the person they're going to marry. I don't know what all God's doing, but I know God is doing for his children everything they need if we'll just trust him. And so the Bible says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. They tried to find a place to live and to stay for the birth of the baby. But there was no normal place for the baby. But the baby was born wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Most everyone who knows the Christmas story knows that. But I'd like for you to get my little book, Let Us Go to Bethlehem, and look at all the prophecy concerning the city of Bethlehem and how there was an inn there. And I believe most likely, don't have a definite word, but most likely, that prophetic place was the very place where Christ was born. And the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds were not just afraid. The Bible uses something to describe the depth of their fear. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So children need to know that the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of Christ. It was a supernatural thing. Then the word of God says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. This is not the angels singing. The heavenly host are singing, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They found exactly what God said they would find. Children need to know that. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The shepherds not only were witnesses of the birth of the Lord Jesus, they told people everywhere they went about Jesus. Children need to know. They didn't just visit the manger scene. They didn't just look upon the nativity or the birth. They told it. They broadcast it everywhere they went. And the Word of God says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I want you to tell your children that Mary, the woman God chose, pondered all these things. What does it mean? She connected the dots. She put it all together. She thought about one day when the angel appeared to her. She knew she was espoused to Joseph to be married. She knew what Joseph would think when someone found out she was expecting a baby. The angel spoke to Joseph and explained it to him, and the angel spoke to Mary and explained it to her. She thought about announcing to her cousin Elizabeth and how God had worked all these things out. She looked, no doubt, at her own body as she was going to give birth to a child traveling a great distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Perhaps she had anxious moments about whether or not she'd get there before the natural things that happened to an expectant mother start happening. But she got there exactly in the very spot where God said this baby would be born. There's a world of things in that word ponder. And you need to say to your children, Mary pondered these things in her heart, and talk about what things she pondered and must have thought about. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Then we get to verse 21. 8 days after the birth of Christ, the Bible says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So 8 days after he was born, he was circumcised. And tell your children what that means. It was a covenant, a sign of a covenant that Jewish people made with God, that the males would be circumcised on the 8th day. You can read the accounts in Leviticus and find out what preempted all of this. There's a special reason for it, because Jesus Christ, his entire life until his death and resurrection, to his resurrection, lived under the law of Moses. And he fulfilled everything the law required so he could go before God guiltless and die for the payment of our sin. It started here. And so, the Word of God goes on. And by the way, talk to your children about what conceived means. Somebody's going to try to convince them someday that a baby in a mother's womb is not a human being. Well, the Word of God tells us in the birth of Jesus that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. It all started with conception. Take the time to explain that. Don't be embarrassed about it. God put it in his word. And the Bible says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses, they're living under the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So there were 40 days before she could go to the temple in Jerusalem. on the 41st day. Now, the baby's how old? On his 41st day, they come to present him. Because God had instructed Moses that the firstborn male would be given to him. Given to him. Dedicated to him. They didn't follow that the way God instructed them to follow it. And so they had to create an entire tribe, the tribe of Levi, for the Lord's service. But she's bringing him to give him to God. And you can say to your children, he was brought on the 41st day to be given to God. And we can remember, darling, when we brought you forward in the house of God, in a church service, and presented you to the Lord and asked God to guide your life. I want you to know, you don't remember it, but we remember committing you to the Lord. They need to know that. And the Bible goes on to say, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. And so they come as very poor people. They don't have a lamb. They bring the poorest of offerings to make the sacrifice. And when they go into the temple, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Your children need to know the name Simeon. Who was Simeon? They need to know the answer. The same man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. These are things when God described his character and the characteristics of his life, this is what God said about him. Tell your children about Simeon. God sees important enough to tell us about Simeon. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We're learning more about him. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now remember, he was not going to die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. He takes the baby in his arms, lifts it up and shouts to God, now I can die, I've seen the Lord's Christ. And the Bible says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And then he begins to tell, and they're listening, Mary and Joseph are listening. Tell your children what Joseph and Mary heard Simeon say about their baby. Someone may look at your baby and say, that's a pretty little thing. Or he's got your hair or your complexion. Tell your children what Simeon said about this baby. Of all the babies that came in the temple, he recognized this one as the Lord's Christ, the salvation of the Lord. And the Bible says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, as thou hast prepared before the face of all people to lighten the Gentiles, a light to the Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. He says, this is the way the Gentiles are going to be saved. This is not just a Savior for the Jews. This is a Savior for the Gentiles. Tell your children that's what Simeon said. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He said to this mother with a little baby on the 41st day of its life, your soul is going to be pierced with a sword. In other words, you're going to hurt deeply because of what happens to this child. And he's speaking of the cross. Think what understanding this man had. Your children need to know that. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. So she'd been married and she lived with her husband 7 years. But look at this. And she was a widow of about 84 years. She'd been a widow 84 years. Tell your children about Anna. Why did God put her here? If God saw it important enough to put her in the Bible, we need to tell our children about this. That's part of the Christmas story. Which departed not from the temple and served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You may want to teach your children about the respect and honor they should give to the elderly. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, right there, this account changes. And we don't know what happens here unless we go to the gospel according to Matthew. So let's go there. And I'm going to take the time to finish this. Thank you for coming. God bless you. This is where the wise men come in. Not until this. The wise men didn't come to the manger. This is where the wise men come in. And the Word of God sees it necessary for us to hear about the wise men. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, you need to talk about Herod. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We don't know exactly where these wise men were from exactly, but they came to Jerusalem saying, where is he that's born the king of the Jews? They'd been studying. They were familiar with the scriptures. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, I don't know what that star is. Many believe it to be the Shekinah glory of God. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Tell your children about Herod the king. He's a very important person. God included him here. He started the Herodian dynasty. You don't need to know all of that. He was appointed king of the Jews by the Roman emperor. And the Herodian dynasty, existed for over a century in that part of the world. And the Word of God says concerning Herod, and when Herod the king had heard these things, verse 3, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Tell them, Herod said, I want to get anybody that knows anything about the Bible and tell me what's going on. And when he had gathered them, they came and they said in verse 5, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. You're still with Herod. And they say, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, Herod had been personally appointed the king of the Jews. That's the title that Rome gave him. These wise men are telling Herod, the king of the Jews has been born. They referred to him as a ruler or a governor. They went so far as to say, these scribes in answering say, he shall rule my people. Then Herod came when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now notice here, something very interesting. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, when you have found him, bring him me word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, notice the star is moving. The star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. That's why so many believe it to be the glory of God. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, not a manger, not the same place where the shepherds came, the shepherds and the wise men were never together. Explain that to your children. There's a known cult that asks people, how many wise men? And they say three because of three gifts. Or they say, were they with the shepherds? Well, of course, they all went to see the baby. No, they didn't. The Bible says they didn't go to where the baby was born. They came to a house. And they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Tell your children about the gifts the wise men brought. They could know their gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but tell them that gold is a gift for kings. Frankincense is a gift that has to be used with offerings. But myrrh is a spice used especially for death. Remember when Joseph of Arimathea and his friend got together. They brought myrrh for the burying of Jesus. How would you like for somebody to come in and you've got a little baby? And they say, here's some gold. Oh, wonderful gold. I think perhaps the gold was used because they were going to have to travel and they needed the expenses. They had to leave and go to Egypt. Frankincense for offering, your religious people, you need this. What would you think if someone said, and here's something for when he dies? Your little baby, when he dies. Explain that to your children. Because he came to die. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Take them all the way to Egypt. Tell the children about Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. In other words, children, remember that God instructed this family to follow him. And we're not going to do anything until we pray and find out this is what God wants. We're not going to move to another city just because we've got another job. We're going to pray and see if this is what God wants. So they departed at the Lord's bidding. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, tell your children that. God told the wise men not to go back to Herod and tell Herod where the child was. So now what happens? Was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Tell your children about King Herod and his wickedness, that he put to death all the children 2 years old and under in hope that one of them would be the Lord Jesus. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Remember, Rachel was the wife of Jacob who gave birth to Benjamin and died at Bethlehem. And so this is called the slaughter of the innocents until this day. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. We don't know exactly how old he was, but they stayed there until God told them to go back. But when he heard that Archelaus, that's the son of Herod the Great, did reign in Judea in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Archelaus was as bad as his dad. Even Rome recalled him for his hatred and wickedness. And he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Did you know in the slaughter of Christians in the Middle East, they went through village after village. I'm talking about in recent times, and made an N, the letter N, on every home of a Christian, because they were followers of the Nazarene, and they were put to death if they wouldn't deny the Lord Jesus Christ and convert to Islam. Read about it yourself. Listen, there is no painless way to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say something very hard. If you don't take the time to teach your children, line upon line, verse upon verse, what the Word of God says, and be diligent about it, what every child needs to know about Christmas, you're going to raise some kids who make a passage through church and come out in adulthood and know little or nothing about the Lord. We see it all the time. Let's bow in prayer, may we? How many parents here would say, "God is speaking to me about what I don't know that I need to know and what I need to teach my children"? Would you raise your hand? God is speaking to you. Have the whole world stop and let's give people what God's Word says. Someone here without the Lord, the reason He came is to pay for your sin debt and mine. If you're still in your sin, it's never been forgiven, you've never come to Jesus for His cleansing power, you've never been washed in His precious blood, you've never said, "Lord, forgive my sin, come and live in me," I'd like for you to let me pray for you. Would you lift your hand, hold it high? May God in heaven help you. Father, bless our people. Help us to be truly Christian. Help us to follow after Thee. Help us to know Thy Word. Help us to celebrate a Christian Christmas. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.